Ahoy, motherfuckers. Welcome to Hindsight. Without further ado, we're joined by Wade from the Old Man Wade podcast. That takes precedence over everything else in this entire goddamn world. Wade, how are you doing? You've been missed. Tell them something about yourself. Tell them something about your shows. The floor is yours.
I'm Old Man Wade, the God of Stubborn and Lord of Laughter. I do the Old Man Wade Show. It's available wherever you can find podcasts. I also do the Culture Comic Book News podcast with my best friend Lavelle and one of my closest friends, the Superior Superbook Hobby. I also do Comic Book 101 with the Bodacious Brandon. That's what I'm calling you. Get over it. I'm a stubborn and apparently I'm a snobby comic book fan.
Very snobby.
A very snobby comic book fan. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a saint and a sinner. I'm a Scorpio, and CB4, someone owes me $4.
Brandon, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I just got to watch one of my favorite movies of all time that still to this day just makes me laugh throughout the entire film. It's such a funny film. It's so well done for a film about what it's about. That's basically a spoof on NWA. And it's just perfect.
Y'all niggas about to argue this whole show, aren't you?
I talk a lot of shit, but I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's one of those movies where you can't take it serious. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Today, as y'all hear, we are discussing 1993's CB4, starring Chris Rock and Dead Mike.
Deezer D, Chris Elliott,
but mostly Chris Rock, Dead Mike, and Charlie Murphy.
And the GOAT, the greatest eye candy of all time, Candy Alexander.
You know, I actually thought you were going to go the other way and say Rachel True, but I will allow it.
I love Candy Alexander.
Me too, but I also love Rachel True, so.
Yeah, I like Rachel True too. But like Candy Alexander then was so fine. Then you think about like Scandal, and she's still fine like 25 years later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and she's such a nuanced actress. Like I've seen her in multiple things where it was just like, that was really just dope. And it's not unfortunate that folks remember her more for her role in CB4 or for her role in Scandal. But, you know, she's a very, very talented, like super talented actress. But let's talk about Rachel True. I'm just kidding. Not really. I'll talk about her later. CB4 came out in 1993. Let's go ahead and start off like this. Wade, when was the first time you saw it and what were your thoughts the first time you seen it?
So I was super late to the game when it came to like CB4. So I caught it. Quick story is my best friend would just randomly go, I'm black, y'all. And I wouldn't get the reference. So I watched it for the first time probably in 2005 or between 2005, 2007. And I laughed my ass off. Like, no matter how old, like, you know, Chris Rock, you know, he hadn't got his face done yet. Like, he still had the high top. You know what I mean? So it was a different era, but that's how you can tell when a movie is a quote-unquote classic, when it survives the test of time after not seeing it when it originally came out. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I laughed the entire time. And not even just for the nostalgia purposes of seeing, like, because Charlie Murphy was a star by now. Chris Rock was obviously, like, the great Chris Rock. Phil Hartman had already passed, mm-hmm. but like the movie was still funny, and it was like it's even funnier now after Straight Outta Compton came out.
Brandon,
I saw this in 1996 because I was a big fan of NWA in my younger years, like the kid in the politician's house. That was me.
Who was saying nigger even though you know you weren't supposed to?
Well, see, he didn't know that he wasn't supposed to because he's a little stupid kid. His daddy, though, took advantage. We'll get into that. His daddy was like, yeah, you know, this racism can get me elected. Oh, yeah, I can go sure. hard on this racism and get me elected. Instead of telling your kid, what he's supposed to do is be like, hey, son, man, I know you like this rap music, but you can't say that word. That's a word you don't say. Instead, he's like, yo, let me go get famous off this about talking about black people. But yeah, so it's 1996. I was a huge fan of NWA and Eazy-E. And I saw this cover in a video store in a block, because we used to have video stores back then for the younger listeners. And a video, it wasn't even a Blockbuster, it was like a video store, because that's what we had in Baltimore. And I went to the video store and I saw this cover. I was like, this dude like Eazy-E. And I was like, I looked at the back, because on the back of the VHSs, it would tell you about the movie. And it would be like, it was like gangster rap group, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I got to watch this. I did not know it was a comedy. I thought it was like real, because I didn't know any better. So I was like, let me get this. I got someone older to get the video for me, because I wasn't old enough to get a rated R movie. And I went back home and I watched CB4, and I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I went a long time without watching it. But then probably like since like 2010, I've probably watched it at least once every year since 2010. Like it doesn't go a year by that I don't watch this film, because it's just so funny. And it has the single greatest comedy line in the history of black comedies, is when Charlie Murphy says, I am 10 generations deep in gangsterdom. That is the best line of all time. By far the best line of anything I've ever heard, because it's so ridiculous but so great for that character.
You know, I paused when that scene, I was watching it with me and the wife were watching it. I paused it, I looked at her, go, did he just say gangsterdom?
Gangsterdom.
When I first saw it, it was 1993. Like I said, thanks, parents. I don't know what else my dad may have given me in my life. But he definitely didn't give a fuck about the rated R's. I saw it in the movie theater, and the first thing that hit me was just how I love the music. I did. I'm not even going to front. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. I had the CB4 soundtrack. I knew all the words. I was singing straight out of Low Cash like last night.
Me too.
Like every time it came on, I was singing it. My wife is sitting there trying to do her homework because she's going through nursing school. Hello, nurse. And
dog, so is my wife too. So
Man, shout out to black nurses getting it done, unless your wife is white, which I don't judge. But if she is, then that changes the whole construct of the statement I just made. And I'll just say, shout out to women getting it done.
Yes, sir. She's half Cape. She's half Cape Verde, and her dad's Cape Verde. Her mom's white. But you look at her, she looks Dominican.
Yeah. Shout out to
brown women.
People of color getting it done.
Yes.
Yeah. Black brown women. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck me. I'm supportive. Hello, nurses. But yeah, while she's sitting there studying, like book or computer up to her chest, looking at it, typing, taking notes, all that kind of stuff, I'm sitting literally 4 feet away from her. Straight out of Low Cash, crazy motherfucking named Gusto. I fucked your wife because the bitch is a big. Oh shit, you're studying. My fault. When I'm in your neighborhood, you better dig a moat because I'm coming to your slit, your motherfucking throat. Between that and sweat on my balls, I became very obnoxious last night. Get a grip on the headboard and hang on to it, or get sent right through it. Bitch, and I like the way that I'm licking it won't be tender the way that I'm sticking it.
It's so brilliant.
Hard, and bitches on my shit like a human shish kebab.
When you watch this movie, it is such a brilliant movie.
Because when you watch it now, when I watch it as an adult, because like I said, 13 to 40, that's a pretty big gap. 13 to almost 41 now. Ha! Is a pretty big gap. But the thing that struck me in this second watching or this viewing as an adult was double. One, Chris Rock is a fucking genius when it comes to writing parody songs. He, one of his albums, The Black or the Berry, I think it was just full of him writing parody songs. One of them was No Sex in the Champagne Room, you know.
Yeah, Bigger, Blacker, and Uncut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second thing that hit me was this wasn't the movie I thought it was. This movie was actually denigrating gangster rap. And it was actually saying that it wasn't cool, you know, to be a gangster. And the reason why it didn't hit me the first time around is because when I was growing up watching it, I was Albert. Now I'm watching it and I realize I'm Albert Sr., not Albert Jr. So the point where he's like, yo, you need to stop playing that rap in my house. That's not me. But at the same time, when he's like, I don't understand. There's a point where Albert Sr. says to his son, I worked hard. I'm from the streets and I worked hard to get out of the streets. So then you would never have to be in the streets. And I don't understand why you want to try so hard to be back in those streets. That hit me in my chest because, yeah, like we work hard to make sure our kids got a better life just so y'all could tiptoe back and act like y'all are something you're not. But only somebody, you ain't tough. There's some real kids out there who are going to kick your narrow ass. You ain't from the streets. I'm from the streets. And only somebody who wasn't would think it's something to glorify. Like that hit me in my chest. I didn't hear that in 1993. But neither did my parents. Because my parents couldn't get past the Straight Outta Low Cash either. So this movie starts off with Chris Rock playing Albert Brown, a suburbanite kid who has, you know, his parents, Gusto's parents have a real nice marriage. The two parent household, father runs a Roto-Rooter company and mom does whatever. He has a girlfriend who's literally a preppy. She sounds like she's from the Valley. Shout out to Rachel True. Even back then, I don't know if this was before the craft or after the craft, but I loved her back then and I love her now. He watches rap in a house where rap is considered not just persona non grata, but his parents literally think that the equivalent of CNC's Music Factory is rap. Like they think the Wacky D is their idea of what good music is in the house. The show starts with Chris Elliott talking to the group in Jones We Trust Productions office, led by Trust Us Jones. If you can't trust me, you can't trust us. And they are, Chris is telling them about the documentary that he did, that he set up for them. And he has a video showing them all the stuff that he set up. I love the way that his name is something white. It's just A White, produced by A White.
Yeah.
And he is talking about CB4 or whatever, but then they're walking through a neighborhood and he literally, the same thing that happened to Soulja Boy happened to Chris Elliott, where somebody steals his fucking camera and just takes off. So he's like, yo, I'm so sorry. My producer put the wrong cut in. I'm so sorry. What can I do? And Dead Mike is like, yo, why the fuck we got a white boy as directing our documentary? Statmaster Arson is like, yo, I'm trying to get out of here so I can go get some bitches. And Chris Rock, MC Gusto, is like, yo, you can roll with me. So they go outside and get into his Jeep. Chris Rock's talking all hard and shit about CB4. Before they get to the point where they have the camera getting stolen, A. White has interviewed a few people. First person he interviews is Ice-T, who's fucking hilarious in this small part.
Absolutely.
They said I could roll with them. I was blessed. The fuck can I do? I can't dance. Like, sitting there rolling, listening to him talk about his experiences with CB4. Brandon or Wade, did y'all have any thoughts about this first part of the movie?
Brandon, you want to go first or you want me to go?
You go ahead.
I thought it was brilliant. I thought in the idea of having a documentary like that, because a lot of this movie I thought was way ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. Like, see, and I love the fact that that everyone didn't have the same response to them, because they could have went with the cliche, everyone hated them or everyone loved them. They kind of mixed it in between. I thought that was cool. And they made sure to have prominent rappers that people who love hip hop would appreciate. And I was, and like, for me seeing it, you know, 10 years from the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, Ice Cube's come a long way. Wow. Ice-T's come a long way. Like, oh man, I just watched Straight Outta Compton recently. So seeing Eazy-E kind of hit me in the heart. And so it was a really dope way to bring the movie about, and just a really good scene in general.
Yeah. I can't like get too serious about this film. I think it was so smart. It's like the Boondocks to me. Like, it's just a smart look on society at the time. And this beginning part is so much of that. Like, it's so much of just like, look at it. And it's not saying like, you black people are stupid for this. It's basically saying like, hey man, you can go too far with this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a line that you don't have to cross. Every song doesn't have to defile women. You don't have to grab your nuts every 3 seconds. Like, if that's who you are, then be that who you are. But it basically is saying, like, a lot of y'all, that's not who y'all are. And y'all are doing this because y'all think that's what sells, but it's really not that great. And, like, the whole first hour of this film is all of that.
Yeah. What's up? Get that shit. Straight out of Low Cash, a crazy motherfucking name, Pesto. I fuck your wife because the bitch is a big hoe. I fuck your sister, I fuck your cat. I will fuck your mom, but the bitch is too fat. When I'm in your, they were the biggest rap group in the world. They sold more records than Elvis Presley and Coretta Scott King combined. They'll forever be known as the world's most dangerous band. Cell Block 4. Like to eat it, like to suck it,
take your shit in a bucket, straight out of Low Cash. Yo, check this out. I'm hardcore. I thought I had a lid on this game. I had this sold up, man. Then I heard these motherfuckers CB4. These motherfuckers is real, G. They show me their guns, G. The fuck I'm supposed to do now, man? Can't dance. Shit's fucked up. But I met him. Gusto stepped to me, said, yo, Ice, you down with CB4? I was blessed, man.
If I had to choose one, I'm Gusto all the way. It's those gold teeth that... something, I don't know. Gusto, is that it?
Well, I saw Gusto one day, you know, we was at a park picnic. You know, he was with his family, you know, and I didn't want to trip, you know, because his people was there, you know, his pops was there and shit. So I didn't want to trip, you know, I just played the background and kicked it, you know, and I was like, I'd catch him, you know, at a swap meet or something.
Question, Flav, how does CB4 fit into the world of rap?
Yo, let me tell you something, man, they don't fit, you know what I'm saying? They kind of whack, Holmes, word up, G. Yo, man, they perpetrators, man, the whole nine, man, they real fucking fake, kid.
I think it's kind of unfair that, you know, Cell Block 4 is being picked on like that, because at these other concerts when they have rat heads and cat heads and cats being bit off and people spit in a cup and passing around the audience and, you know, getting it back and drinking it, you know.
First of all, motherfucker need to cut that long shit he got dripping, you know, all that shit, you know, cut it down like my size or something, you know.
The first time I heard Sweat on My Balls, I was naked. With the first black woman I've ever made love to. Ooh.
How did that make you feel?
There was actually sweat on my balls.
Not everyone had the insight to understand CB4's greatness.
Cell Block 4 has polluted the airwaves of this nation for too long. Their record of incitement, lewdness, and poor grammar will see them jailed, banned, and with their feelings hurt.
So, yo, it's even funnier the second time around. Hey, what am I supposed to, like you said, what am I supposed to do?
I can't dance.
So it's even better now.
So that was Ice-T, Halle Berry, Ice Cube, Flava Flav, who literally was the only person who saw through all this whole, but you know what? At first I was like, did Flava Flav see through this whole thing, or is Flava Flav the only one who isn't a gangster, a fake out gangster rapper in this scenario? But Flava Flav, who saw through the whole thing, the Butthole Surfers, Shaquille O'Neal, and then the Butthole Surfers, shout out to them.
I can also just say that I love that Eazy-E, you can kind of, well, Eazy-E and Halle Berry, you can kind of tell that they're like, oh, we have to say something nice about them. So, because Eazy was kind of like, and Halle was like, are we done?
Can I go now? Are we done? So, next step is they go out to Gusto's Jeep. Or Albert's Jeep, and they get in. Jeeps, 93. What can I say? Cars drive by with the booming system was also a thing back then. And they start driving. Albert's trying to talk all hard. He gets a call. He's like, it's probably one of my bitches. Picks up the phone, and it's fucking Charlie Murphy, who's the real Gusto, who's like, yo, what do you do when somebody pulls up behind you and tries to blow your fucking brains out? And Chris Rock does his whole mama and starts freaking out. He drives off. They're following behind him, trying to shoot them, like literally. Charlie Murphy standing up in their Jeep, because Jeeps were a thing back then, shooting at him with a Uzi. Chris Elliott is having the fucking time of his life being shot at with an Uzi.
This is real. I'm getting the real life gangster experience. So and then they get on the highway. The freeway is the one place that a gangster ain't going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster not going the freeway.
And so Chris is like, yo, we got time. I'll give you the real truth about what's going on. And one of the things that I really did like about this movie, like another thing I really like, just as a side note, is when they, so Chris Rock starts telling the story. So this is all a flashback. And while they're having a flashback and they go back to Chris talking to Chris Elliott in real time, you got to watch the people in the car next to them. Because there's always something different.
The headbanger was the one that really got me, though.
The headbanger, the dude, the one that got me was the dude with the pink rollers in his hair, drinking a glass that looked like Cavassier while he was driving.
Yes.
So
I got a question. Is Low Cash a real place?
It is. Isn't it supposed to be? Like, I believe it's a real place.
Sacramento?
I believe it is a real place. I've just never heard or been there. Hold on one second. Let's find out.
Is Low Cash real? Hip hop loving Albert's two buddies. Fictional Low Cash. It's not real.
Yes. Okay. So, but the podcast Straight Out of Low Cash is real. Got it, even, you know, way back, but brother. So, he starts telling the story of how he was really Albert Brown and how he grew up in a house with two good parents and all that kind of stuff. Him kissing his girl, turning up, steady mobbing. The soundtrack on this movie, once again, is banging. It's a rapper movie. And his dad comes in and says, you need to turn that shit off. In my house, we ain't gonna have that hippity hop up in my house. And his dad is like,
no, he said, hold on, I have the quote. It was one of the funniest things of the movie. I think he said something like, hold on, I got it right here. Oh, shit, I wrote a lot about this movie. All right, whatever, I forget, I can't find it.
Okay. And so
oh, I got it. He said, don't waste my electricity on that rap mess. I'll whip your ass in front of your girl.
I'll whip your ass in front of your girl. I mean, like I said, I definitely understand where Albert Senior's coming from in this entire movie.
And they're sitting on the plastic couch.
Plastic couch. So, and Chris just looking at him like, man, don't be talking to me like that.
In our day, they used to sing. That rap mess ain't nothing but talking. Son, it won't never last. Remember black and white TV? Gone. Remember 8-tracks? Gone. Betamax? Gone, gone, gone.
Yeah. Look, Wackity and Sunshine. Oh, no.
Albertina! Alberta, come on here. Come on in here now. Come on. Come on, honey. Look.
Ooh, that boy sure can dance.
Because I'm the wacky. is. There's no question I can dance. Dance in my pants and in your face. Yeah, my rap is a disgrace, but I can dance. I got sun, I got shine. Move back hardcore, cause I'm going for mine. Did I mention before that I can dance? I'm wacky.
Yo, that kick is the best part.
Happy to see Pooh.
You know,
yo, that kick is the best.
At first, I thought that this was a treatise on CNC Music Factory, but it's not. It's fucking MC Hammer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. That blew my mind when I thought of that last night. Like when I first saw it, like I said, I thought it was CNC Music Factory because of the backup singer, but it's MC Hammer. And I was like, oh my God. That puts it in a whole new role for me. Like, oh my God. But yes, that kick is incredible.
Dog. Yeah, I remember watching that. And I'm watching it last night. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait, this is, like you said, CNC Movie Factory? No, this is MC Hammer. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I kind of want to hear some Luke now. But then I was like, is that Pootie Tang? Like, it was...
No,
it was
no,
so that, much... It,
that what is this dude's name? It wasn't he, because Pootie shows up in this movie.
I think that's Pootie. Isn't that Pootie?
Let me see.
Wacky D?
I think Wacky D is Pootie.
No, Pootie is the one who's like, you're going to give me my money. I don't care if I got to bring you back. No, that's Stoney Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stoney Pootie was the one who punched him in the coffin. Yeah.
So Albert and Albertina and Alberta come down there dancing to Wacky D. Chris Rock looks mad as hell because he hates Wacky D. He likes that gangsta shit. So he goes over to his homeboy Otis's house. Otis, who stabbed Master Arson, who's their DJ, is the eldest brother.
Best name in hip-hop history.
The best, well, yes. But also the best eldest brother in the history of ever. Like, he's the older brother of, like, five sisters. And Chris is like, yo, let's go, man. It's time to go. Kisses his mom on the cheek, because, you know, that's back when, you know, you could kiss other people. You actually went to other people's houses. Went to his friend's house, kissed his mom on the cheek, went in to sit down at the table. They're all sitting there eating dinner. Otis is like, all right, man, we about to go. And his sister's like, you can't go. He got to sew my dress. He got to help me with my homework. He got to play Nintendo with me. He got to do my hair. And then there was like one more thing, and it's like, damn, Otis is just incredible. But they leave and they go to pick up
Euripides Smalls,
aka Dead Mike, who is currently working in a sex, he's a sex worker. I think that's the best way to put it. He's a fake sex worker. He's a phone sex worker. So
phone sex worker, yeah.
So
particularly for men who want to hear a man's voice.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there's other ones.
Well, they had all of them.
There were other ones that were out there, like 976 Diss, 976 Piss. Piss.
Yeah, the bucket. Oh my God, I was dying.
Like, I really did.
That's exactly probably how they did it, too.
I'm not going to tell you how I know, but it is.
That's motherfucker. That's right. Kiss my fucking ass.
Excuse me, could you tell me where I might find Euripides Smalls?
Yes, right down there.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, right down there.
976. Yeah, you're so soft and tender. Yeah, I love it when you call. Yes, it's lovely. All right, till tomorrow. What's up, kid?
Are you almost ready?
Yo, this job is nasty. Yeah, I'm licking your balls. Best balls I ever had. Uh-huh. You got King Kong balls. Your balls are so large. Just big balls. I don't care. You just got big balls. Peace. I hate this job. This ain't no job for no black man.
Yo, man. Let's go down to Gusto's, all right?
So, Euripides Smalls is...
No passion.
No passion. Yeah, I'm licking your balls. Your balls so big, man. Your balls are incredible. They're huge.
Got I mean, you got big balls.
You got big balls. I don't fucking
know. I'd want my money back if I called that sex line.
For real. You got lotion in your hands and you get him on the phone. You just want to hang up. Like, fuck.
We'll be back to Hindsight after this brief break. Here at Single Simulcast, we often think about our listeners. What you're feeling, what your emotions are.
I wish there was a show that I could depend on.
Every Wednesday, Single Simulcast will bring you some of the liveliest, funniest podcasts that you've ever heard. With such things as skits, musical interludes, and parody songs.
I wish there was a show that I could laugh at.
We here at Single Simulcast fully support you and your visions and dreams, so we will never do anything but bring you the most hilarious storylines in the game today.
I wish I could fly.
Single Simulcast loves you. We want you to know that we will always be funny, except for now, because we're being serious. Serious about being funny.
I wish I had a wish star like Macaulay Culkin.
That's Single Simulcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Zoom, and at www.singlesimulcast.com. Single Simulcast. If you don't know by now, then you're probably slipping.
Hey, y'all. This is Derek. We wanted to thank y'all so, so much for listening to our show. Right now, at this very moment, we'd like for you to go ahead and screenshot your phone, your iPad, or wherever else you're listening to this show, and send it to us on Twitter, at Hindsight Reviews. We'll post it up and retweet it to everybody else, and you could be a part of our family. Also, be sure to leave a 5-star review and let us know what you think of the show wherever you listen to the podcast at. Thank you so much, and back to the show. So they go to Gusto's, and they've been trying to get seen at Gusto's, which is the biggest club for musicians in the area. They've done a few different things, which one of them was them doing a... What the fuck is that nigga's name who did Baby You Send Me? Now, they did one that was a riff on the Jungle Brothers, honestly. I can't remember what they were called. Then they did one that was the Bagheads. And their whole rhyme was the Bagheads, the Bagheads, what? The Bagheads, the Bagheads. And then they all wore fat suits and they were like, we're fat, we're fat, we're fat, we're fat. So they're
who were the Bagheads making fun of? I didn't get that reference.
I want to say it's EPMD, the Headbangers.
I can see that. That song rocked too. The Headbanger, what? What? Sorry.
Remix,
that was the first time I heard. That was the first time I heard Redman, and that just blew my mind. I immediately went out and bought his album, and the rest is history. So they run up to Gusto and his friend 40. Well, before they do that, they meet this man called Baba Yak, who's like, the black man must be the center of the world. The first Hotep I ever saw, like, ever. And you can learn more about buying my book for $14.99. And Albert's like, isn't this supposed to be free? And he was like, man, the revolution must be monetized. So they go and talk to Gusto. Gusto.
Yo, Brandon, that is the greatest quote in all time.
That might be. The revolution must be monetized.
The revolution must be monetized. Andy added tax. He said $19.99 plus tax.
Wouldn't you? I mean, so they are, Trustus is walking past the table. And Gusto stops him and says, yo, man, when are you going to get Wacky D over here to my club so that he can perform? And Trust is like, yo, I don't know if he's going to come here. And Gusto immediately goes from 0 to 100 real quick and pulls out a gun. And he's like, bitch, I said, when are you going to bring him to our club? And at that point in time, Trust just walks away. He's got candy on his arm. Albert's like, yo, when can we open up for... Wacky D? And Gusto's like, man, y'all ain't shit. And 40 Dog, a skinny, small, short dude with a fucking voice box. Yeah, y'all ain't shit.
40 dog.
So, oh fuck, I forgot the my other favorite part of this, because it was something that we did back in the 90s, was my brother. I have an older brother, and so whenever we listened to music, we couldn't sing the whole song by ourselves. We had to choose parts. And he was always whoever the lead was in the group, and I was always the backup. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about this. So I was always DMC when we did Rock Box. I didn't have a choice. I was okay with it because, you know, you start to like DMC as you're forced to be DMC.
I was a king of rock.
He hated every white person he ever met, unless they had a check for him. Tom Willis come over, door slammed right in his face. But soon somebody had a check for him, was like, hey, Weezy, fix him up a plate. Ain't I right, Otis?
Yeah, right and tight.
Now, that's a real role model to me.
Man, do you have the tape?
Yeah, I got the tape, but I'm Run.
I'm DMC.
Wait a minute, why can't I be DMC?
Because you Jam Master J, that's why.
Nigga, I'm always a Jam Master.
All right, me and you will do DMC together. Is that all right with you?
I bet.
Cool.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher.
There is none higher.
To call me sire. To form my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Now we rock the party. It come correct. All cuts are on time. And rhyme connect. Got the right to vote. And we'll elect. And other rappers can't stand it, but give us respect.
So, I mean, I've been through that. Say,
when I used to listen to, like, when I used to listen, like, because I was an only child for, until I was about, like, I think I was, like, 10 or 11, but I was the youngest of all my friends, so I could never be Sticky Fingers and Onyx. I had to, like, I was like, I'm not going to be Sticky. I'll call Fedro then. It just, like, okay, fine. I'll just take that. You know what I mean? So I understand that. I couldn't be Q-Tip. I had to be Fife Dog, which is not, yeah. No, I had to be Malik, which is probably why I learned 8 million stories as early as I did.
Mm-hmm.
King of Rock is still one of my favorite songs.
It is. It's a bop. Even now, it's a classic. Endless.
And me and Brandon talked about this earlier on Comic Book History 101 about classics. And one of the things I always tell people, a classic survives the test of time. That song still bumps.
So after Gusto tells Albert to get out of his face, Dead Mike and Stabmaster come over to see what's going on. And Gusto's like, you want some of this? And he flips over the table. Mike's talking hella hard until Gusto flips over the table. And then he's like, brother, you seem easily upset.
They get No. This is after Candy Alexander runs up on Stabmaster Arson. And he's in love with her. He's just drooling. And she's just like, you know, if you make it large, maybe I'll let you take a picture and assume the position. And she opens this book of all these rappers. And it was like a fake Vanilla Ice. It was like all the fake rappers. And she had them in like compromising positions. And at the end of the movie, she started kicking knowledge to them up to the other video women. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, you can have them do this or do that. But she was like, when you really make it is when you get your own house. I was like, look at her.
You know what? Candy Alexander is the first person I knew who was sex positive. A woman who was actually written as a sex positive person who knew what she wanted and went after it, who wasn't portrayed as a hoe.
Yeah,
I really did like that. I don't know if they did that on accident, but I really did like the way that they did that. Back then, I just wanted to, like, oh my God, I was 13. It was like bust. Especially because, and I don't remember, I have to check to verify, but I'm pretty sure the Candy Alexander was stuck in my head for a long time with in the same realm as Adina Howard.
Ooh.
Like, I feel like her and Adina were in the same boat in that mindset. And Adina, her album came out in 95, but she looked so much like Candy Alexander to me at that point that I was like, okay, I'm gonna marry them together. But yeah, they get thrown out the club. Dead Mike's like, yo, you need to go back in there and that's the only place we can go to get on stage. Trustus dries up with Candy and he's like, yo, if y'all get y'all shit together, you can come and record an album with me. I'll work with you.
Trustus is so slimy.
Hey, he's a Jones. You can't trust him, you can't trust us.
Who is he supposed to be? Quincy Jones? Who's he supposed to be?
Just a record label producer.
Barry Gordy, maybe?
Maybe Barry Gordy. He's like, this movie is so smart, man. It's just so good. Like,
it was ahead of his time, man.
It's so good. Like, especially, we're going to get to it, but the scene where Trustus is talking to him and he's like, do you defile women on your record? And they're like, yes. Do you grab your genitalia? Like, that is one of the smartest scenes.
And so the next thing that happens is that, Chris Rock comes back to try and apologize to Gusto. As he's walking over to the club, Gusto's inside the club setting up a drug deal. There's a white guy standing across the street from the club reading a newspaper at the corner. Like, is this really how they set up stings in the 90s? Or do we just not know how they set up stings in the 90s? Anyways, he asks Chris Rock what time it is. Chris tells him what time it is, just in time for 40 Dog to see Chris talking to this white guy. Chris goes across the street, knocks on the door. He's like, yo, you need to let it. Nah, he's going to kill me. Please let us know. He's going to fuck me up. I'm here to kiss your ass and pucker up. He's going to kill me. So he knocks on the door. 40 Dog lets him in. 40 Dog walks over to Gusto and he's like, yo, he's here to kiss your ass. The cops run in behind Chris Rock and arrest everybody. Now, I just want to stop and say that this whole arrest is not Chris Rock's fault. It's literally 40 Dog's fault for not locking the goddamn door. If he had locked the door, Gusto wouldn't have gotten arrested at that point in time. Maybe later on, but not right at that point in time. So as they're wheeling Gusto away, Chris Rock sees him and gets an idea that he can take Gusto's name because Gusto ain't going to be using it. And
why were they wheeling Gusto out on the hand truck?
They had him because this was right around the time of Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, yeah. I knew the reference, but it was just weird. I was like, were they doing
that? No, they just wanted to make him look like a super villain. That's okay, all.
I was like, were they doing that to people in real life?
So they get set up with, he talks to Dead Mike and Stabmaster and they set up to be CB4. And Dead Mike says early, yo, if I find something else, I'm stepping. Y'all my boys, but if something else good comes along, I'm out of here. So they go and they get weaves put in or fake wigs or fake Jerry curls or whatever. Dead Mike's like, I'm not fucking with that. They go in to meet up with Trustus and that's when they have this conversation that Brandon was alluding to earlier.
Oh, hold on. Before you play that.
Okay.
There was one funny part. Is they meet up at this restaurant called Big Ass Biscuits.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yes.
And it has the largest biscuits you've ever seen in your life. And I just was wondering, like, I wonder if that's real. Like, I wonder if those are real. If there was ever a restaurant that did some shit like that.
But also, there's a guy who recognizes Dead Mike, and he's like, hey, man, don't I know you from somewhere?
Yes.
And Mike's like, nah. And he's like, are you sure? Do you do radio? And Mike's like, nah, I don't do radio, bruh. And he's like, are you sure, man? And he's like, yeah, man, sit down and eat your big-ass biscuit. And he's like, all right, whatever. But it's a guy who recognizes the voice from the sex line that he works at. So then they go and they get all their stuff done and meet up with Gus, with Trustus, and Trustus is asking them this.
Okay, guys, I love the image, but let me ask you one thing. Are you sure you want to be Gusto? Why not something like Ice Pick, Ice Coffee? I mean, ice is really happening right now.
Ice my dick. We're cell block 4 and I'm Gusto. Take it or leave it.
All right, guys, let's get it started.
I want you to sign with us, and you want to sign with us. And we want you to want to sign with us. Now, let me ask you guys a couple of questions. Do you cuss on your records?
Yeah.
Do you defile women with your lyrics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you, fondle your genitalia on stage?
Yeah.
Whenever possible. Mm.
Do you glorify violence or advocate the use of guns as a way of solving civil disputes? Okay, okay, final question. Do you guys respect anything at all?
Not a goddamn thing.
You got a deal.
Yeah.
Well, just that Trust Us Productions. Mm. Trust us. Can't trust me, can't trust us. I love it. Go.
Chris Rock's teeth were so fucked up in this movie. So then they go to do the video for Straight Outta Low Cash. That's where Candy Alexander meets the hip hop dancers and is talking to them about what they should and shouldn't be doing. Also, I just realized yesterday that Straight Outta Low Cash, while they're acting all hard in this horribly produced video, is being directed by a white dude. I love that, that they're talking all hard in this. I love this rugged black.
It also looks exactly like the Straight Outta Compton video.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, almost scene for scene, but just different, like, you know, for the movie. But busting through the scene, like, that's exactly how the Straight Outta Compton video looks. It's perfect.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job just, like, interpreting what it was like in the 90s. Well, late 80s, early 90s with, like, West Coast hip-hop. And again, Chris Rock's teeth, that was the one thing I kept hearkening back to, because it was like, wow, he really had a lot of, like, he made himself look better as, like, time went on, why he still looks as young as he does. But there's also, it also reminded me of a Sticky Fingers video came out maybe 5 years ago, where he's playing two roles. He's playing the white executive and he's playing a rapper. And it's like, do you do drugs? He goes, nah. He goes, I just smoke weed, single Hennessy. He goes, that's okay. We'll get you hooked on pills and lean. You'll be in send you to rehab and you'll be all good. And I'm like, oh, that's essentially what they were trying to do now. With the whole idea, like, do you grab your nuts? Do you do this? Do you do that? I was like, again, ahead of its time. I'll probably say it again with the next clip you play.
Yeah. So then basically, you know, nothing really happens here. It's basically just a montage of just, you know, them doing, you know, going, becoming famous. And they do the video, and the little boy, Virgil Robinson, the politician's little boy, sees the video, runs in his office and starts singing the verses Straight Out of Low Cash to him, which he immediately saw as a way, because they show a scene earlier with him talking, and he was just like, oh, you know, we got to figure out something so I can get reelected. Mm-hmm. And then he sees this and he's just like, oh, this is it. This will get those white people on my side to come after these black people, which is why this movie is so smart, because it doesn't just talk about the faults of hip gangster rap. It also points out how ridiculous politicians were at the time with it, knowing that it wasn't legitimate.
And I mean, growing up in California, in 1993, the governor of California was Pete Wilson, who was a fucking Republican dickhole ass hat. Like, he was the worst. So, yeah. Phil Hartman did a wonderful job. That's all I'm going to say. Fuck Pete Wilson. Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So then I think they had a call with, like, Charlie Murphy. I think Charlie Murphy, like, sees them on TV. Oh, yeah, he sees them in jail. They're playing the music video in jail. And everybody's like, oh, shit, Gusto, I didn't know you rap. And Gusto's like, the fuck you talking about? That ain't me. They pretending to be me. And he calls them up. Like, he gets his phone call. He calls up Albert. And by the way, Charlie Murphy is such a convincing gangster. Like, yes. He sounds scary as shit through the phone. Like, he sounds like he will fuck you up. And then they cut to, they're in, like, this hotel, this fancy-ass hotel. And Dead Mike is on his super hotep shit. I don't know if you have this clip, but this shit was funny. He was talking about, like, pork. And he was like, you don't eat pork? And then Chris Rock's character was like, I will fuck some pork up. I love me some pork. And then he was like, pork is the white man.
And the white man's pork.
And if you spell white, like, man backwards, what does that spell? Pork.
Pork.
I said, this is a Twitter nigga if I ain't never seen one. This is a 2021 Twitter. Hotep.
crazy with that I don't eat pork shit, man. Personally, I'll eat a pig's ass if they cook it right.
Get on. Beloved, it's against everything I now believe. You see, pork is the white man, and the white man is pork. Now, if you spell white man backwards, what does it spell? Pork! Now, if you can't see that, then they've got you brainwashed, brother.
I must be brainwashed then. Now, you mean to tell me, if you was getting ready to get thrown out of your apartment, right, and a pig offered to pay your rent, you wouldn't take the money?
No.
Shit, I'd be a money taken from a pig.
Well, that's the difference between you and me.
Yeah, I got a place and you live with your mother.
Man, he is so, he's so good. Then the reporter comes in and Chris Rock, Gusto, start being, MC Gusto start being disrespectful as fuck. Like, oh, you just a group. You trying to fuck. And Dan Mike is like, don't say that about her. Like, this African Nubian queen. Like, you, like, he was doing that whole spiel. And then she was like, actually, I'm a reporter for The Source or whatever. And she was like, I don't fuck with, she said, I don't have to fucking do anything to get to school. I'm a journalist. I'm going to do my job. I can write something nice, or I can write, I can dig deep into your background and give every little secret that you don't want to hear. And that shut his ass up quick. And I was like, look at that. Look at that writing. You know what that reminds me of, Rashani? Is remember in Distinguished Gentleman, mm-hmm. where the reporter came in and Eddie Murphy was talking shit to her, and she was like, yeah, I'm not for any of that shit. Like, I'm a real reporter. I think those came out the same year, which is interesting to see because this is 1993. They wrote women bad for a lot of years after that. And I'm not saying women were written perfectly in this film, but for a 1993 film,
they were extremely empowered.
It was much better than you would expect. I'll say that a lot.
Well, Rashawn, to your point about, I can't remember her name, but you were talking about how great she was at, like, you know, she wasn't really a hoe, but she found out a way to use her sexuality to get what she wanted.
Exactly.
That's not something that we saw in the 90s a lot at all, if we saw it at all, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there was a time, like we had, like when we talked about Boomerang, Robin Givens, like, you know, and she knew how to use her sexuality and get what she wanted. Holly Berry didn't necessarily need to do it, but she was still a powerful woman who knew, like, you know what I mean? She had her little, it seemed like she had stints of like insecurity, but for the most part, she was confident in what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like maybe the early 90s, this was a lot of like, it was more, and you see this a lot more in black movies than you would in other movies. Shit, you saw it again in Mo Money.
Yep. You know what I mean? So I love that movie. I can't help it. I love that movie.
There was a lot of it in the early 90s, man.
So then, you know, they're doing this whole thing in traffic, which is funny. And I think y'all brought up all the characters in the background, like pulled up next to them. And they were, one of them was like a dude in like a Jason mask or some crazy, scary shit that was fucking with me. I was like, why is he wearing that in traffic? But then, you know, they had some more shit happen. And then they had the tour where MC Gusta was like, yeah, I finally got to get with Sissy, who Candy Alexander. But she was like, the problem with that is that Dead Mike got with her too. And this scene was hilarious because Dead Mike was so
Oh god, yeah.
He was so, like, you know,
putting it down,
like,
on her.
He was putting it down. He was like, and fucking Chris Rock is terrible. He's getting carried to the bed.
Chris,
like,
Rock is hanging on for dear life. Like, there's literally a point where Chris Rock is literally getting fucked by Candy. Like, he's up in, when they're showing Chris Rock and Dead Mike having intercourse with Candy as a juxtaposition towards one another. So they'll show Dead Mike putting it down first, and then they'll show Chris Rock hanging on for dear life. And there's one point where Candy's up on a wall, and Chris and Dead Mike is just giving it to her, just, like, ravage, like, ugh. And then the very next scene, Chris Rock is sitting on the wall and Candy is standing up, which literally sexually is not possible, but she's standing up in front of him and looks like she's just pegging him and just giving it to him as he's holding on for dear life. And it is the best.
At one point he was like, they just threw him in as a, like, it was like a dummy. Like an inflatable doll. Yes.
Yeah. Cause he was getting tossed around. He couldn't open her bra. So he gets like a knife and some pliers. And then he gets like a saw to try to open the bra because he couldn't do it. And then the funniest part was when, like, Dead Mike was about to go down on her. He looks at the camera and, like, gives the eye wink, like, what he's about to do. And then Chris Rock was kissing her stomach, and he was like, I ain't going down there.
See, and you know what? While that's funny, it's also a very big conversation on how kids looked at rap back in the 90s, because I know out here in California, there was a song by DJ Quick called Don't Eat the Pussy.
Oh, damn.
So there were songs that literally set oral sex back for years with a lot of kids who listened to gangster rap. And since this whole thing is a conversation on what gangster rap did to kids, Albert, who listened to West Coast rap all this time, is like, I ain't doing that. I ain't going down there. It's 68 and I owe you one. And he don't know shit about how to pleasure a woman. He's holding on for dear life. Meanwhile, Dead Mike is over there pulling out the Joe, all the things your man won't do, and is just putting it down on her. So there's actually a real conversation to be had for that.
Yeah, so then Chris Rock kept spiraling, and like he starts dissing.
Oh, wait. I do want to point out way back when Chris Rock was talking at the beginning of the movie. I'm so sorry, but this is something that hit me. Way back at the beginning of the movie, there's a point where Chris Rock says the MC Gusto was, or that Gusto was the Nino Brown of Low Cash, which means that New Jack City was a thing in this. Which means that Pookie was a thing in this universe.
No, New Jack City was a movie in this universe.
Yes, no, I'm saying it, but it was still a thing. So yeah. That hit me. That was interesting.
Well, they kind of gave an homage to it when Chris Rock was. It looked like a bong, and it might have been a crack pipe when he was kind of smoking during that like montage of wasn't sure where he was in life. So they kind of hit back to that as well, which I kind of giggled at, because like Chris Rock always makes it a point to let people know he doesn't forget where he's from.
So like Albert's longtime girlfriend leaves him. She's like, yo, you becoming an asshole. Fuck you. I'm out. And then Gusto escapes prison. And they do a fake robbery to like say this is he gets on the camera and he's like, this is MC Gusto and Dead Mike and Stabmaster Arson. We're robbing this liquor store. Like, it was so ridiculous.
It was some WWE shit.
Yeah, they end up breaking up because, you know, Dead Mike became like a super woke, like super hotep rapper.
My main man, Dead Mike, solo tip in his most personal recording yet.
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo. Because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blickety black, 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 black.
And Stabmaster Arson became a DJ. Like, they all broke up because, you know, the rap groups break up. And then Gustin Albert, you know, got into drugs, like old man was just talking about. And then, you know, he got a call from Trusted. He found out Trusted is dead because Gusto had a gun to him and he choked on his fucking food. And so then Albert set up a sting on Gusto. They had Sissy come in and seduced him. Then Albert came in, dressed up as Sissy, and kicked his ass. And the police came in because they got him on tape. And then the movie ends with them making a comeback under their own names. And, you know, they weren't the gangster rappers anymore. So, yeah, this is one of my favorite movies. But, yeah, old man, you wanted to get to your casting. Who would you have cast in this film that was different?
All right, man. So this was kind of cool. I actually had a lot of fun with doing this. So I decided that the three rappers were actually going to be played by rappers. So MC Gusto, I had being played by Chance the Rapper. Dead Mike was going to be Tyler the Creator. And Stabmaster Arson was going to be Kendrick Lamar. Chris Elliott, I had being played by Jake Johnson from New Girl or Jim Gaffigan. Phil Hartman was going to be, did I have that right? Oh yeah, Phil Hartman by Matt Greenwell, who's also from New Girl. Trust Us, this was a good one. Either Damon Wayans Jr. or Jay Farrow. The real Gusto was going to be played by Big E Langston from the WWE. I can't remember. I was like, The voice box dude was going to be played by Ron Killings, who's R-Truth. Sissy would be played by Kiki Palmer. Eve would be China Ann McClain. Delilah would be Issa Rae. And Bubba Ock would be Kenan Thompson.
Delilah's Issa Rae is perfect casting, actually.
I think that's I can't take credit for that. That was my wife. I was like, yeah, who plays? Perfect. I was like, I need somebody. I was like, who plays her? And Maria was like, oh, Issa Rae. I was like, that's fucking perfect.
That was great. So, yeah, man, CB4, one of my favorite movies. Like, it's just a brilliant movie. Thinking about it, 27 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long, but 27 years later, it still holds up to me. It's still enjoyable. The soundtrack hit number 13 in hip hop albums when it came out. So
it was popular. That's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah. So it was a popular soundtrack. So yeah, dope movie, dope movie. Rashani had to dip out. So, you know, you can check Rashani out on the single simulcast. Return to Oswald, you know, you've been listening to this for a while. You know where to check out Rashani. Old Man, where can they find you at?
You can find me at oldmanwade.com on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the Old Man Wade Show wherever you listen to podcasts. That's the Old Man Wade Show. You can find me on the Culture Comic Book News podcast with Super Bowl Kavi and my best friend Lavelle. You can find us on there on Twitter. That's Twitter. Wow. Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartMusic. And you can find us on the Old Man Wade Show Facebook page. It's a lot of dorky shit, but we get political. It's a safe place, and if you're an asshole, you will get called out and you will kick the fuck out, because we're not dealing with that. This is a safe place for people to go in there and have discussions and debates in a way that people can actually improve as people and maybe learn something.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely go check that out. And we'll be back next week. I think we're doing State Property 2 next week, which I've never seen before.
God. I love that movie.
I've never seen State Property 2 before. So wish me luck, everyone. And we'll talk to y'all later. Peace.
Music for Hindsight is Coffee by Cambo Smith, and it's from the Free Music Archive.
This is Single Simulcast. Don't know by now that you said.
CB4 in the motherfucking house.
Yeah, Gusto's in the motherfucking house with my man Dead Mike. We breaking motherfuckers off 24/7. So check this shit out.
Gusto, what's up?
Get that
straight
shit.
Straight out of low cash, a crazy motherfucker named Gusto. I fuck your wife, cause the bitch is a big hoe. I fuck your sister, I fuck your cat. I will fuck your mom, but the bitch is too fat. When I'm in your neighborhood, you better dig a moat, cause I'm coming to slit your motherfucking throat. Blood is dripping, I'm not slipping. Bitches panties is what I'm ripping. Rolling faster than a motherfucking dirt bike. Never met a piece of pussy that I didn't like. Like to eat it, like to suck it. In a bucket, straight out of low cash. Crazy motherfucker. Yeah. Where you from, nigga? Yeah.
Coming straight out of low cash. A crazy motherfucker named Dead Mike. So get ready, cause you're going for a long hike. Off a cliff, I'm driving you over. Now you're dead with your four leaf rover. Float like a cannonball, sting like a shark. I'm the nigga waiting for you in the dark. Waiting to rob you, waiting to beat you. A bullet in your head is how I treat you. A villain with a hat, and it's like that. I tied your mom to a motherfucking train track. Flat on her back, I gave her some crack. It's 10 o'clock, do you know where your mom's is at? At my house, doing wiping what? Her ass, she had to move. Straight out of low cash. Yeah.
Yeah.
your plan.
And we come fully equipped with a bad attitude and a hard ass for demonstrations. Watch us slam, steady piled in like a jackhammer.
One sword that you can't cop out, we're pounding you down till your eyeballs pop out.
We're not your ordinary players, and she'll get paid with the
sweat for my
balls. Get paid with the
sweat for my
balls. Get paid with the
sweat for my balls.
Get paid with the
sweat for my
balls. She'll get paid
yo.
With the
sweat for my balls.
Get paid with the
sweat for my biggity balls, yo. Sweat for my balls. Check it out, yo. Get a grip on the headboard and hold on to it, or get sick.